Okay, so in terms of the question and the concept of Madlikin Miner L'Ner, so the whole notion of seeing the Ner, seeing each Ner as a separate entity, is an interesting question. It actually touches upon a question Michael asked me yesterday about Aftershir, and I mentioned it'll come up today, so actually we can start with that point, and it's kind of a side issue, which will take us back to Madlikin Miner L'Ner. There is a question one could ask as follows. Michael asked me yesterday about Ein Mavirin al HaMitzvos, about the general principle that we have that we try not to pass up an opportunity to do a mitzvah in favor of a later opportunity. And we see that applied sometimes even when the opportunities are in very close proximity. So should there perhaps be any application in the context of Neir Hanukkah? And, for example, the Taz maintains that there is such an application. The Taz says, against the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch, which we spoke about in the context of Mahadran, we spoke about this. Remember, the Shulchan Aruch says that when you light the Hanukkah candles, you put your first candle here, and then you add candles to the left of it, and then you make the bracha, and you start lighting from the left. So the Taz didn't like that. The Taz said he thought that was an issue of Ein Mavirin al HaMitzvos. We mentioned earlier the Vilna Gaon's objection for a different reason. But the Taz raises the issue of Ein Mavirin al HaMitzvos. And many responded, such as the Das Torah, the Marsham. The Das Torah points out that this is not a situation of Ein Mavirin al HaMitzvos because this is one mitzvah. So all the candles, the menorah, are all together as one mitzvah, so therefore we shouldn't use logic of Ein Mavirin al HaMitzvos as if we're passing up one mitzvah for the next. So that's a yisod that many agree with, this idea of Ein Mavirin al HaMitzvos. And there's a tshuva about this in a contemporary sefer that's called the Tshuvas Hari Yehuda. I want to keep you guys up to date. So the Tshuvas Hari Yehuda came out very recently. It's hot off the presses. The third volume, it's a contemporary machaber, Sfardi Talmud Chacham, who writes beautiful tshuvas. So this is so hot off the presses, I'll tell you, Chelek Gimel, that I'm going to mention, has a page in memory of Rabbi Avadji Yosef. Right, so that clearly was not printed so long ago, but he's a very fine Talmud Chacham, the author of the Sefer, so he just came out with his third Chelek. So in his third Chelek, he has a tshuva about this, where he talks about Ein Mavirin al HaMitzvos in reference to the Hanukkah candles. And there he mentions this yisod, where one could point out that we don't say this principle when dealing within one mitzvah. So, for example, there were those who maintained that how come it says in the Shulchan Aruch that, say, Friday night, it's based on Kabbalistic reasons, that you take two challahs and you cut the bottom one. So is that not a problem with Ein Mavirin al HaMitzvos the Bach raises? So others say, no, it's not a problem because it's not two separate mitzvahs of one chal and the other chal. It's all one mitzvah. So we don't use the phrase, Ein Mavirin al HaMitzvos, when talking about internal aspects of one obligation. However, if you carefully learned this blot with Rashi, you might see an objection to that point. Anyone know what I'm talking about? That the phrase Ein Mavirin al HaMitzvos does come up on our block with an Ardaf in a Rashi. It's a very long Rashi, which I called extra attention to on this morning's Marmar Kamos with the sheet that didn't get seen. So that could explain that. But the Rashi Dibur Hamasfil Ubo Hayim Misayim, Chavbez and Midbez. So there, it's a very long Rashi. Rashi talks about the idea of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash of lighting all of the candles from the Ner Maravi. So where is the Ner Maravi? Which candle is the Ner Maravi? So the way Rashi understands it is that you have one candle that's the easternmost candle, and then the Ner Maravi, which is lit first, and everything is lit from that. That's what our Gemara says over here. Right, that Ner Maravi Shnosim Ba'Hashem and Kemidas Chavruseha Umimena Hayamadlik Obo Hayamisayim. Just start off from there and then end off there. So this Ner Maravi, says Rashi, is the second candle over. You can't light from the first candle because it's a pasuk, so you have to light from the Ner Maravi. But Ner Maravi has to be the next candle over, the first one to the west, because, says Rashi, you have an objection. And it says Rashi, this is the second going into the third wide middle sized line on this Rashi in Chavez and the Days. Mishob Dein Mavirin al Hamitzvus. So you can't use light for the first one because of a pasuk. So then the first one that's eligible to light from, that's the second candelabra. So that's the Ner Mayra. Hi.
I'm not really sure what you mean by the second candelabra.
So if you have the candles, let's assume for a second they're going east-west, which is not clearly the case, let's assume like that for a moment. So then the Ner Maravi, it's going to be a candle that's relative to the first candle you encounter. So the first candle you encounter, so your understanding is based on a pasuk that that's not going to be the candle you're lighting from. So the eligible candles are the next six. So which one is the one? So Rashi writes the first one that's west of the first candle. In other words, the second candle. Right, if we're going east-west this way. Right?
What's the menorah set up so that One branch was towards the opening of the Kodesh, and one was closer to the Kodesh Kodashim.
Right.
So the Ner Maravi would be the first one on the left branch, the one farthest to the left on the left branch.
But that's Rashi's objecting to that. Other Rishonim did understand it that way, which we'll discuss in a moment. But Rashi here assumes that it's the second candle, not the one farthest to the left, because you have an issue of Ein Mavir and Ol HaMitzvos, he says. So therefore, the one that we're calling the Amaravi, there are others who disagree with this, which might be what you're thinking of. But according to what Rashi says over here, it's the second candle over because of this issue of Ein Mavir and Ol HaMitzvos, that we'd be passing up this candle for a further candle. So here you do seem to find an application, then, at least according to Rashi, of Ein Mavir and Ol HaMitzvos in the context of the menorah space HaMikdash. So he goes on to suggest in the Tshuvas Hari Yehuda that there's a difference between the menorah space on Mikdash and the menorah in our house. And that's part of what we need to focus on today a little bit. To what extent is there a parallel and to what extent are there differences? Amir?
Isn't this like a quasi-Mavir and Ol HaMitzvot?
Okay.
Because you're not really passing the chance of the mitzvah. You're just not doing it then.
Right, so you're delaying it instead of canceling. Right. Mitzvah delayed is mitzvah denied. Right. I know, so not necessarily. You're right. It would seem to be a more severe Mavir and Ol HaMitzvos if you chose a later mitzvah over an earlier mitzvah. But if you're going to do them all, so then your point is that wouldn't seem to be the same type of degree.
Right,
that's a valid point. But he said that based on the Hanukkah menorah, you would think even more than that. You think the whole concept isn't relevant because it's all one mitzvah. That's the Yesod he first wants to say, that when it comes to the Hanukkah menorah, there's no concept of Ein Mavir and Ol HaMitzvos. What about Rashi, who applies this to the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash? So he says a few things. So first of all, as Michael might want to point out, that there are those who disagree with Rashi, in which case the question doesn't even come up. But working within Rashi, who says it, so it could be that there's a difference between the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash and the menorah that we light in our houses that are not as hot as this. Is it, can we open a window or something? It's just incredibly hot, right? When you talk about flames and candles, it doesn't help. So this notion, he says, even though when it comes to the Hanukkah menorah, he thinks it's all one mitzvah, maybe you can make a case that the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash is different. He says, there's a Mishnah Menachos on the Maamar Komus that you'll see tomorrow that says that the seven branches of the menorah are ma'akev zeh. In other words, you need all seven of them. So one might get the impression from there that it's all one mitzvah. So he says, yes, that's true, but there's still distinct aspects of a mitzvah. Each candle is a distinct component. So therefore, you could have a concept of Ein Mavir and Ol HaMitzvos when you have such distinct entities. He also mentions that some understand the idea of Ma'akim Zed to mean that you have to have a menorah with all of them. You can't have a menorah with five branches in the Beis HaMikdash. It has to have all seven. But maybe it doesn't refer to the hadlaka of all of them. But even if you assume the hadlaka, they all have to take place. But still, each one is a distinct identity. So maybe you could say in Ma'avir and Ol HaMitzvos by these manifestations of all one big mitzvah. But when it comes to the menorah in our house, so there he assumes that this whole concept of ribui, right, the idea that we have the mahadrim and a mahadrim, of adding on extra candles, this is not a distinct identity. This is all a broader statement of our core hadlaka. So all of the candles become one big expression, and we shouldn't distinguish within them. And therefore, he assumes that we would not say Ein Ma'avir and Al HaMitzvos when it comes to the Hanukkah candles in our house. So based on that, so therefore, it's a question. So why should we assume then that there is any concern at all of Madlikin Miner Lener? Right, and you could also ask, why does the Gemara then compare it to the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash? The Gemara is looking there. So you could say, okay, the Beis HaMikdash, maybe we'd have a question whether we should madlik miner l'ner, because each one is distinct. You shouldn't compromise one for the other. But if, taka, it's the case that within our menorahs, all of the our Hanukkah menorahs, all of the candles are all one expression, so why do we even have a discussion of madlik miner l'ner? So he notes that one question we really have to ask, if we want to talk about this sugya, is what do we mean, ner l'ner? Do we mean within the same menorah? Or maybe this question even means from one Chanukiah to another. Right? Maybe you're all gathered together in Morgue Lounge or whatever lounge it is, you've decided that you can light in, and then there's a bunch of different Chanukios around, so can you light from one to the other? Maybe that's the Shiloh. And he says, it's an indication from our Gemara that that might actually be the Shiloh. What's the indication from the Gemara? Because what other case do you find somewhat compared to this? Tzitzis. Right? What question does the Gemara ask about tzitzis? On a different baguette, right? So moving it from one baguette to the next seems to be more similar to lighting from one Chanukiah to the other Chanukiah. So maybe that's what we're talking about. So within your own menorah, so Eimavir and Ala Mitzvos, because it's all one expression of the mitzvah of Hadlaka. And therefore, for sure, you should say Madlika Miner L'Ner. But the question of Madlika Miner L'Ner that's being debated here in Paskin and Shulchan Aruch, maybe that's talking about if you're going to light somebody else's menorah. And indeed, if you look in the Mishnah Berurah, that's one of the possibilities the Mishnah Berurah discusses, and the Kaf HaChaim discusses, that that's what the Psak is about. Because indeed, the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch is the Madlika Miner L'Ner, like the view of Shmuel. Although the Ramah modifies it, the Ramah says the minig is not to do this. And the Ramah does make a statement, and he says that the other candles that he seems to be working with in the same Chanukiah are not as much of a mitzvah, because they are mahadrim. And therefore, the minig is not to light from one candle to the next. So there are those who suggest that what seems to be a machlokas, the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, at least in terms of the minig, may go to the same question we talked about a second ago. Is it that it's all one mitzvah, all the extra candles, the mahadrin light more than one candle, but all of those candles become a part of the key expression of the hadlaka, so no candle is any more significant than any other? Or do we say, no, it's really one ikar candle, and everything else is hider, and therefore it should be viewed as secondary to the primary candle, and maybe it's not so nice to light from the primary candle to those other candles. And again, this is an issue that we saw in the Mahadran discussion, and it goes back to the point we mentioned a few minutes ago about lighting from the newest candle, the Shulchan Aruch's view that that's what we do. If you recall, the Vilna Gaon said it doesn't seem to be a good idea because those extra candles are Mahadran candles, they're not the main candle, and yet the Shulchan Aruch says to do it that way, and the way we understood is because we see it all as an expression of one hadlaka, that even though you could have lit one candle instead of seven, but once you're lighting seven candles, that's all one statement, and none of the candles are differentiated from each other. So this sugya, as we've seen, all draws into this major sugya which was lurking in the background and which gets brought up at the end, the question of hadlakos and mitzvah and hanachos and mitzvah. So this is a somewhat confusing sugya, and it's somewhat frustrating because it's not always clear what are the nafkaminas, it's not always clear what it's dependent on, And we saw again from day one that it was brought into the Kavsa Zakuf discussion, and the Shulchan Aruch seemed to imply that it was all interconnected, that Kavsa Zakukla means Hanachos the mitzvah, and Kavsa Lo Zakukla means Hadlakos the mitzvah, and we discussed it's not so clear that's the case. So this sugi is kind of always laid under the surface as a little bit of an issue to try to work out what exactly is going on. And now the Gemara brings it up head on, and the Gemara suggests some nafkaminas. We have to try to figure out what exactly is going on. What kind of nafkaminas do we see from the Gemara? If you say Hadlaka, what would you say? And if you say Hanacha, what would you say? Just without even getting into any Rishon, what does the Gemara invoke as possible nafkaminas? So Lika Ben Aaron there might be connected to this. Right? That's what gets into the sugya. What else? Well, the question of do you have to have the menorah in place, right? That's what it seems like is the initial nafkamina. Do we say hadlaka b'makoma, but you know it has to be in its place already when you light it, or could you light it somewhere else and move it? What else? Cherishot to the cotton, right? Let's say if you have somebody who's not a bar chiyuva, somebody who's not obligated in the mitzvah of hadlaka. So it sounds like from the Gemara that if the mitzvah is the hadlaka itself, then the person doing the hadlaka has to be obligated. But if the mitzvah is hanacha, then you could have it lit by somebody who's not obligated, and they could then put it in the right place. The obligated person could put it in the right place, and that'll do it. Anything else? Just again, just from the Gemara, any other nafkaminas that come up?
More than 20 amos.
More than 20 amos, we saw might connect to that, right? That takes a little bit more lumbus to see how it connects. But that's it seems the placement from the Gemara, the hanacha of the sugya, seems to take us in that direction, as we saw. But what else? Towards the end of the Gemara mentions another nafkamina, or raya, the bracha, right? That we make a bracha of lahadlik ner shalchanika. Maybe that's a proof that the mitzvah is itself the hadlaka. So all of this can get very confusing because some of the parts don't fit in perfectly. And we can try to get a little bit of a perspective and try to put things in place a little bit, just with an awareness that there is a lot of confusion that surrounds the sugya. Hi.
You mentioned before, very, very early on, when we first addressed this issue of the bracha itself, hadlaka versus hanacha, the bracha seems to be one way that it doesn't necessarily prove anything. It could be that it's incorporated in that understanding that hanacha is going to be where it's meant to be. For the mitzvah to be fulfilled, you need to, they're just equally ma'akib.
Right, that might be. I mean, the Gemara itself brings it up to figure out what it means. But I think what we maybe mentioned the first day is Ashari Ephraim, who talks about that, and he understands the question to be similar. Right? If you say that Kavsa Zakukla and this sugya are the same, if you say they're Habaha, right, which is certainly a viable pshat, the biggest objection to it being that the Gemara does not make that connection, which is a significant objection, right? Especially since we see the Gemara itself just threw in a bunch of other issues into the Hadlaka Hanacha basket and doesn't put Kavsa Zakukla into that basket. But one could formulate both machlokas in as being about the same thing. Right? We could say, the question is, like the way the Shari Ephraim says it, is the mitzvah to light the menorah, that's the obligation, or is it to have a menorah lit? And therefore, if the mitzvah is to light the menorah, so then Kavsa Lo Zakukla, if it goes out, you don't have to relight it, and / hadlaka is the mitzvah. The mitzvah is the hadlaka. But if the mitzvah is to have it lit, so then you're going to have to say kavsa zakukla. You have to relight it if it goes out. And hanacha is the mitzvah. The mitzvah is putting it in the place where it will remain. So that's the perhaps overly neat way of making the two issues habaha. But we have some impediments to doing that. Like we said, the Gemara doesn't connect the two. And when we talked about Kavsa Zakukla, we didn't feel that it so neatly broke down along those lines. And as we'll see, Hanacha Hadlaka probably doesn't break down along those lines either, as nice as it would be if it all plugged in perfectly to that story. So what is going on here? So first of all, in terms of the whole question, so Rashi has a statement which has attracted a lot of attention. When Rashi considers the question of Hadlaka or Hanacha, so what does Rashi say? That where might you get this from? This whole idea of Hadlaka osa mitzvah? From where? From the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. Right, that perhaps the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash, it sounds like what Rashi is telling us, is that there the mitzvah was, there the mitzvah was Hadlaka. That's what it sounds like. This is Rashi in the bottom of Chav Beis HaMikdash, the first wide line.
Dibra maschel iha adlaka osa mitzvah, iha mitzvah shal chanukah tluya b'hadlaka madlikin, k'teshkecha and b'menorah.
So a lot of attention has been paid to that Rashi. Oh, Rashi is saying that we follow what happened in the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. There, hadlaka osa mitzvah. So that the Taz maintains, the Taz in his interpretation of this Rashi, and many others say, okay, that's what Rashi is saying, that we follow the process of the Beis HaMikdash, so Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah there, and Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah here, and that's the story, which has, by the way, other implications. So, for example, the Taz says, just as we wanted to stick in Neir Shabbos into our discussion somewhere, so the Taz says, so that's not the din by Neir Shabbos. Because Neir Shabbos, there's no reason for it to follow the menorah. Right? If the whole reason we'll say Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah is because we're copying the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash, so that's a Hanukkah concern, that's not a Shabbos concern. So therefore, by Shabbos we wouldn't say this. So what's a raya to say differently? What bracha do you make? We're all men here, I guess, and maybe we don't do this so often, but what bracha do those who light Shabbos candles make? What does the Gemara say about that? Implies Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah. Right, that's an objection that Prima Gavim raises to that comment of the Taz. And the Taz himself makes a reference to the Ramah in Reish Samach Gimel. Sorry that I'm forced to get out today. But the Ramah over there says that if you have candles lit from Friday afternoon and it comes approaching Shabbos time, you have to extinguish them and relight them. So is that so clear that this is really the case, that by Shabbos you don't say this? So that's a whole sugya in of itself. I just mentioned that Shabbos, there is a whole discussion what the purpose of Neir Shabbos is. We generally understand, it's a comment based on the observation of the Vilna Gaon and Hilchos Yontif, that when we talk about Oneg Shabbos and Kavod Shabbos, two concepts that are mentioned in a pasuk in Yeshaya, so that Oneg Shabbos means the things we do on Shabbos, and Kavod Shabbos is that which we do for Shabbos, so Friday afternoon. We prepare for Shabbos, that's Kavod Shabbos. So therefore, when you say, people have sometimes a practice when they eat on Shabbos to say, L'Kavod Shabbos Kodesh, they probably should say, really, L'Oneg Shabbos Kodesh, because the act of eating on Shabbos is a fulfillment of Oneg. The act of cooking on Friday might be an act of Kavod. So the person cooking on Friday could say L'Kavod, and the person eating Friday night should say L'Oneg. But in that context, the question has been raised, what is the role, or what's the category for Neir Shabbos? Is Neir Shabbos about Oneg, or is it about Kavod? In other words, we say, okay, we want to have lit candles on our table Friday night, because that enhances our Oneg Shabbos. Or do we say that the mitzvah is to light candles, which by its nature will be taking place Friday afternoon, and an act of Kavod Shabbos? So the Rambam, point question about that?
Yeah, where do we, I mean, we talked about the Shalom Bayis issue, where do you find a mitzvah of Kavod?
So the mitzvah of Kavod, Shalom Bayis actually is something coming up, that's going to get into our lightning round, we'll talk about that a little bit more. But keeping aside that Gemara for now, but Kavod as a mitzvah, no, Kavod as a mitzvah is a pasuk in Yeshaya, the Karas L'Shabbos Onesh Kodesh Shem Mechubad, like the concept of Oneg and Kavod by Shabbos. And the Rambam writes in Hilchos Shabbos that we have four verbs, two from the Chumash and two from Divrei Kabbalah. The Torah tells us Zachar V'Shamor, and the Nevi'im tell us Kavod and Oneg. So Oneg is what we do on Shabbos, according to the Grod, Kavod is what we do before Shabbos. So then the Chronim discuss where the Neir Shabbos fit in. So they point out, the Brisker Rav and others point out, that the language of the Rambam in different places in Hilchos Shabbos, you find both words used in connection with Neir Shabbos. And he and others suggest that it's both, that there is an aspect of Oneg and an aspect of Kavod. And this affects this question of Hadlaka or Hanacha, because if it's about Kavod Shabbos, a mitzvah of Hadlaka, to light candles Friday afternoon, and if it's about Oneg Shabbos, then presumably it's a mitzvah of Hanacha, to have candles on your table Friday night, and we're not so focused on the act of lighting them specifically. So that's a whole discussion of itself, and that's a little bit relevant to this, that here the Taz is saying, oh, if it's all based on the menorah, so then that doesn't carry over to Shabbos, And the Prima Gadim saying, what are you talking about? We have indications, as the Taz himself makes reference to indications, that Shabbos is about, or Neir Shabbos is about the Hadlakah. So that's a whole sugya in of itself. It comes into a little bit through the back door of this discussion as well. Hi.
Practically, by the Menorah, if we were to think about how to assign whether the essence of the Menorah is about Hadlakah or Hanacha, I would jump to the conclusion that it's about Hanacha, because...
You're talking about the menorah of Hanukkah.
Menorah
of Hanukkah. Remember, okay, yeah.
Yeah, and then to learn out Hanukkah, because I would think a major part of it is to place it inside the Beit Mikdash.
So there'd be a lot to your... There's a lot to your chush there, a lot to your instinct, because this is a question that many of the Achronim raise. That if we should assume that the Beis HaMikdash would be Hadlaka, then we have a couple problems. Sugyas don't line up so well. First of all, it seems the Rambam writes in Hilchos Tamidim Musafin, I guess you'll see this tomorrow, that the Hadlaka could be done by a Zar, by a non-Kohen, which is the Beis HaMikdash equivalent of a Cheresho to the Karton for this purposes. And we say Hadlaka Alav Avoda, it's not one of the Avodas Beis HaMikdash. And he says also that it could be lit outside and brought inside. So these are very much at odds with the whole concept of Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah that we see by Neres Hanukkah, where we have explicitly contradictions of those principles. If we say Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah, we assume it has to be lit by a Baruch Yehuva and it has to be lit in its place. Now, why should I think that the Beis HaMikdash is Hadlaka? Maybe it's Hanacha. Like Michael says, there does seem to be a good basis to say that. So what's pushing us to maybe say it's Hadlaka? It's really this Rashi. Right? Rashi is telling us that we're copying the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash, so therefore, if it's Hadlaka there, it should be Hadlaka here also. Although, as we also mentioned in our first sugya, that the whole question of Kavsa Zaka, Kavsa Lo Zaka, well, what's the din by the Beis HaMikdash? You mentioned this day one. Zakakla, right? If it goes out, you have to relight it. So it breaks down on that level. So that's another challenge to this whole issue. The Menachas Chinuch in Mitzvot Tzadi Tes, he discusses this pretty heavily, because he also feels that the Beis HaMikdash should be Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah, because he says also it's Docha Shabbos, lighting the menorah. And how could it be Docha Shabbos if that's not the requirement, if the mitzvah, if the avodah, so to speak, is not the Hadlaka, so how could we justify doing it on Shabbos? That's a question which is going to be even harder to answer. We'll have to probably just keep that in the back of our minds for now. But the other questions are raised. So Rashi and others are giving us the impression that the Beis HaMikdash and our house has a relationship. And therefore, if we're going to say Hadlaka here, we should say Hadlaka there. And what about all these details that don't match?
There are two points. One, are there any indications that Rashi uses this to side with any of the Rishonim who previously passed that, let's say it was like the Balamor, or in terms of how far and the extent you compare it to the Beis HaMikdash?
That's also kind of lurking in the background here. You know, that's a lot of what will come out of this discussion is to what extent are we comparing it to the Beis HaMikdash? Where does it stop? Where does it start? And definitely are those who bring up, okay, so then this is basically following the Balamor, maybe following, you know, that whole question is certainly in the background.
Secondly, why is it necessary to say that we see from the Beis HaMikdash because it was done that way there, that it must have been a mitzvah, because otherwise it would have, I mean, it's possible that in the Beis HaMikdash things would just work differently.
Right, so you could say the Beis HaMikdash is Hanacha, and this is Hadlaka.
Yeah.
So what's our problem with that? One problem is the Menachas Chinuch's question about Shabbos. Okay, that's an issue. Why could you do it on Shabbos? But other than that, the main thing that's bothering us, which maybe there's an answer to, is that we're assuming a connection between the Beis HaMikdash and our menorah. And Rashi's statement here of Kideshkechan the menorah, and Kideshkechan Beis HaMikdash, and therefore these details are not matching up. All the nafkaminas that the Gemara says about Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah are not observed in the Beis HaMikdash. So Reb Chaim has this yesod, which does not really help, just furthers the question. But Reb Chaim has this yesod, which we mentioned on the Kavsa Zaka Kula point, that in the Beis HaMikdash, the mitzvah was to have candles lit. And that in our house, maybe it's a different gather. Which again, doesn't answer the question, just kind of deepens it. I saw an approach, which I don't know if this satisfies me. You can tell me if this helps you. The Maaser Rekech is a commentary on the Rambam. It's a Sfaradi Talmid Chacham who had suggested that the reason for the difference, which again is not an answer to the broader question, it's just a step in the puzzle, but the reason for the difference is that in our house, the mitzvah of Chanukah is Pirsumei Nisa, and in the Beis HaMikdash, it's not. So therefore, the Hadlaka is the act of Pirsum, so that's why we're concerned about that with the Chanukah menorah and not with the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash. Does that satisfy you?
Can you make the opposite claim that it's all the Hanukkah?
Yes.
The Hanukkah is what is a purpose
in the Mesa. Right,
the
so that's.
Location is key because we have laws about how many amot you can put it within, and it seems that placement is.
Right, so I think I'm bothered by similar things to you are. First of all, those points are powerful points, but with or without that, I'm just not sure why the Maisa Hadlaka gets the key role as the Pearson. That's one question. There might be an answer to it, but it's on the surface, it's a little bit of an issue. And also, I'm also not so sure that the Beis HaMikdash is so different than Pirsum. Right? Doesn't the Gemara say that the idea of the light of the Beis HaMikdash is everyone should see it, it should be God's presence in this world? So you don't have to call that Pirsumei Nisa, but you know that's what our Gemara here in Chav Beis and the Beis. Right, so do we really need the light? Says our Gemara, the Chilor Hitzarach, Ela Edus Hila Boy Olam Shashchina Shari BiYisrael. So that's not similar to Pirsumei Nisa, or functioning in the same way. So I don't know if that's such a satisfactory chiluk. You know, so to say that why one should be your reasons and other reasons, I'm not sure if that's such a satisfactory chiluk. Whatever it is, it seems to be the Beis HaMikdash is focused on candles being lit, which again could be consistent with this idea that that's what people will see. And then Michael's points also that all the Hanukkah details also seem to fit in with that. And to say that the Hadlaka is about some type of greater Pirsum, it's a difficult chiluk, it's a difficult point to make. Hi.
Could it be possible that there like a potential reason for why you would say the Hadlaka is the key Pirsum is because we have all these precautions to make sure that it's clear that you're not using the candles and the light for the purposes of some individual need.
Mm-hmm.
But in the actual lighting of it, it becomes clear that there's no... I mean, if I were to let it just sit, it's potentially possible that I'm benefiting from it, but the light itself, the act of lighting from it, that's the clear piercing because there's nothing yet for me to benefit from up until I've already lit it. Meaning, like, that there's no clear moment of piercing than the actual lighting of it, because this is the most non-confusable point here. Because as soon as it's already lit, and I'm just looking at it, it's possible I'm benefiting from the light, and I might confuse that. Maybe it's not pure, so maybe he's getting individual pleasure. Versus the actual act of lighting, there's nothing else possible except for the pure itself.
That's an interesting svara. To say something like that, I think you'd also have to say, like the Rabbi Yaakov Emden that we mentioned last week, that if you're doing it with a bracha and saying Haneru Salalu, then that's true. If you're not doing that, if you're just lighting, then it's still, one could say, lower hutzarach, you're lighting because you need light in the room. Now, again, your point could be supported within that if you say, and there are those, and I think I heard Rav Soloveitchik was among them, who maintain that reciting Haneru Salalu could be ma'akev, for some probably similar logic, that it's crucial that when you light, you have some declaration of mitzvah intent, and that's what we mentioned the other day, that the Rabbi Yaakov Emden said that even if you had a suffix, if you have to light, you still make a bracha. And some explain that's why you make a bracha in shul, because you cannot really have the persimmonis of Chanukah without the bracha. By the way, the Haneru Salalu might be the answer to his problem, that if you don't make a bracha, but you do say Haneru Salalu, you don't have the suffix brachos issue, but you still perhaps accomplish the same goal. But so if you're always saying something when you're lighting it, so you're right, then the lighting becomes unambiguous. If you don't, then it's not so unambiguous, and you light the candles that you use also. Nowadays, we use electricity. Okay, it's a little more unambiguous, but okay. But the point's well taken, that if you say it together with that whole package, then yeah, that moment has, so maybe that's the case. Maybe that becomes a moment of the fulfillment of Pirsumei Nisa because it is unambiguous. It's a complicated lamdasha point, but just to allude to it, you know, there is a case to be made that you can only really have Pirsumei Nisa by something that you do yourself. And that something that could happen passively maybe isn't Persume Nisa. So therefore, maybe we have to focus on the active state of the Hadlaka. That's a complicated kind of consideration. But in any event, what seems to emerge is that the Beis HaMikdash does seem to be about Hanacha, despite all these indications, and does seem to be about lit candles instead of lighting candles. And our menorah, it's not so clear that's the case. Our menorah, Hadlaka probably wins, and Hadlaka seems to take us in a different direction. So what about Rashi, who's connecting the two? So the Prima Gadim and others, they read Rashi differently. They think that Rashi is just telling us, because this whole sugya comes out of the Malikim Minero Nera sugya. So saying that just like in the Beis HaMikdash, they could light from one candle to the other, so too, that's what he meant. But he didn't mean to say, and maybe others interpreted in terms of various rules of how the Hadlaka is done, that's where the comparison is. But this question itself of Hadlaka versus Hanacha, maybe it didn't really mean to say that the Beis HaMikdash is Hadlaka and this is Hadlaka also. So, in order to try to understand this a little better, so first of all, it's important to point out that the Hadlaka position and the Hanacha position may not be as far apart as they seem. And this may have a little deja vu, because this is also what we said about Kavsa Zakar and Lo Zakar, right? That they're not as far apart as they seem. And so too, this may not be as far apart as it seems. So first of all, we discussed yesterday and the day before that it seems to be that the Gemara has a case where if you had a candle lit from Erev Shabbos and you want to use it Motzoi Shabbos for Chanukah, the Gemara says you have to relight it, according to the opinion of Hadlaka Osa Mitzvah. And according to the position of Hanacha Osa Mitzvah, you have to move it and relight it. So both cases you have to relight it. So why do you have to relight it for the opinion of Hanacha? So we discussed it has to have the status of a Ner Shel Chanukah, etc., etc. But it seems to emerge from this Rashi, and this is the way many understand it, that even the position of Hanacha Osa Mitzvah does not throw out the role of Hadlaka. Hadlaka has a role, it's just less of a role than Hanacha. Hanacha includes some focus on Hadlaka as well. And that's, they read perhaps into this Rashi also, I Hanacha Osa Mitzvah, on the second wide line of Chavez and Medvez, the Iker Mitzvasa Talia the Hanacha, the Iker Mitzvah, but not the only Mitzvah. So maybe there is a role to Hadlaka, but it takes a back seat to Hanacha. So for example, the Nafkamina that we mentioned about Cherishot to the Cotton, so maybe it means, okay, the Gemara does use that as a Nafkamina, which would seem to say that Hadlaka is not a mitzvah at all, according to that view. So maybe you could say, this is the way Yerucham Olshan expresses it in his Sefer, that if Hadlaka is the whole mitzvah, it's got to be done by somebody who's Mechuyev. If it's a subsidy, if a secondary kind of mitzvah, so then, okay, it can be done by someone who's not technically obligated. Has a different role to it. But it's still somewhat part of the mitzvah process. He also points out, the Ran has a very interesting point, which really kind of says this straight out. So the Gemara, as we mentioned, our Gemara says that a proof that it's Hadlaka is that we make a bracha lahadlik ner shel Chanukah. So the Ran asks, it's an interesting formulation, really makes this point pretty clearly. He says, what if we had said Hanacha? What should the bracha be? So what would you think the bracha should be if you would think Lahaniach? But the Ran has that possibility and another possibility too. So maybe it should be Lahadlik u Lahaniach. In other words, the Ran's not sure, what does it mean to say Hanacha? Does it mean to say Hanacha only? Or maybe it means Hanacha together with Hadlaka, Shmuley?
There'd be like a duality, or maybe a two-part mitzvah, like a tefillin, or you mentioned lahaniach, right?
Right, because it's got that word lahaniach evokes tefillin itself. So in general, when it comes to tefillin, that's an interesting question.
I mean, it's more of a stomach, yeah, but...
Right, whether they're the same, or whether they're... what hanacha means in that context.
It's a suffix also, so it sounds like here it's also kind of a suffix.
A suffix way to make two brachas by, yeah. Right, actually also which one is. That's the whole lundus to itself.
It'll take a little bit.
So when would you say the bracha is also a good question? But let's assume we could peg a moment. Presumably when you put it into place, you say the bracha, you might be able to make the case you can make the bracha afterwards also. That would be an interesting question also. That maybe
you didn't fulfill it.
Right, or maybe as long as it's still lasting there, maybe you're still in fulfillment to that. Maybe there would be a strong basis to say like that. But the Ran Safik really pretty much explicitly says that, at least according to one of his studim, that maybe the mitzvah hanacha means hanacha and hadlaka. So it could be, and again, this is there is a similar, this is basically the way it's presented by Yerucham Olshan in the Sefer Yereach L'Mo'adim, is that really this whole machlokas, the two positions are actually pretty similar to each other. That really, they both agree that the goal of Neiros Chanukah is to have Chanukah candles lit in your house. And to that extent, it's actually very parallel to the goal of the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. That the goal there was to have the menorah lit in the Beis HaMikdash. That's really the goal in both cases. But the machlokas is, what creates that status of Neiros Chanukah? What makes them into Neiros Chanukah? Is it the hadlaka that makes it Neiros Chanukah? Or is it the placement that makes it Neiros Chanukah? And therefore, that's actually a little more meduyik in the language of the Gemara. Right? It's a funny language to begin with. Hadlaka osa mitzvah. Hanacha osa mitzvah. If we translate it directly into English in a little bit of a clumsy way, it sounds normal. Oh, does hadlaka do the mitzvah or does hanacha do the mitzvah? Because we'll talk like that in English, it sounds like it's right. But in Talmudic language, it doesn't really sound so correct. Osa mitzvah, what does that mean? So maybe what it means is, what makes it into a Ner Shel Mitzvah? Is it the hadlaka that makes it into a Ner Shel Mitzvah? Or is it the hanacha that makes it into the Ner Shel Mitzvah? And if that's the case, so then the machlokas is, the two possibilities are, hadlaka is specifically the act of kindling, while hanach is a broader process. It's about lighting it and putting it into place and setting it up where it will be viewed by people. So therefore, hadlaka is also a part of it. It's not exclusive of hadlaka. It's just hadlaka is all a part of the picture and not necessarily the one that we pay most attention to. And therefore, that could explain a few other things as well. It could explain the secondary focus on hadlaka. And it could also explain another point, and this is a point that we'll expand on a little bit tomorrow, we'll say more about. Today we'll just say enough to understand this point. But the Rush writes over here that because hadlaka osa mitzvah, that's why we have a din that we spoke about in the past, that you have to have sufficient oil in the menorah when you light it. And because at that moment, that's when you perform the mitzvah, so you have to have the oil there for the whole time. So you could ask the question, but if that's the point, that when you do the mitzvah, you have to have the whole shear of oil, couldn't you say the same thing if you say hanacha osa mitzvah? You could say that when you place it, it has to have oil to last the whole time. Both halachas should mean that you can't come and add the sufficient oil later. So why is it just hadlaka osa mitzvah that tells you that? So the way he explains is because if you say hadlaka osa mitzvah, so it means the whole focus is on that moment of lighting. But if you say hanacha, it's a broader process which is all about ultimately having this display continue in your house. So then the oil could be added earlier, it could be added later, whatever it is. Ultimately, it's a less defined moment in time. It's a broader process that results in this impact. And therefore, he suggests also the Beis HaMikdash basically is parallel, but you have different considerations in the Beis HaMikdash. No one's ever going to think that the huge fancy menorah, the Beis HaMikdash, is a personal usage menorah. And no one's going to have any question from its placement as to what it is. So therefore, the status of osa mitzvah, that which makes it the candles of the Beis HaMikdash, that could be done outside and brought inside. That could be done by somebody who's not technically a Kohen. Because it's already, it's male of osa mitzvah. So all we have to worry about is having the candles lit. But the candles of the Chanukah menorah, it's not as obvious. So therefore, maybe we have extra concerns as well as to what's necessary in order to give this a status of Ner Chanukah. So that's interesting. I think it's a very interesting interpretation. That point about the Rush and the Shir Shemin has ramifications, which God willing will follow up on tomorrow. Like I said, it'll have implications maybe for electric menorahs. But what basically emerges here is that, again, this is perhaps the inverse of the Kavs L'Segudah. That basically, if we say that really these two positions are not that far apart, and that it's all about it's all about having candles lit in your house, and making sure that those candles are identifiable as Ner Chanukah. And therefore, other considerations are seen in that light. And you could also see that that's maybe what the Shulchan Aruch is getting at, because the Shulchan Aruch says, Halakha is a mitzvah, and you have to light them in the right place, and you can't move them from somewhere else, because Haroa Omer Lesorchu Da'adlik. Someone who sees it will think you did it for your own purposes. But that's the kind of consideration the Gemara brings up in the context of Hanacha is a mitzvah. That, oh, if it's Hanacha, the only reason you can't move it from somewhere else is so a person won't get the wrong idea. So why does the Shulchan Aruch mix the language then? So there's a lot of people about that. But we could say that it's all the same idea, that basically Hanach and Hadlak are not so far apart. It's all about not blurring the status of this candle and having it there. And therefore, these considerations are kind of taken as one big breath. And that also could explain, just to say very briefly, a question we mentioned yesterday, that the Rambam Paskins, you can light from one candle to the next, but you can't use a kinsa, you can't use a shard to light from one candle to the next. And we asked, as those most of the Ravid, most of the Kamel and the Rambam ask, that seems to be against the Gemara. It sounds like from the Gemara that if we paskin, you can light from one candle to the next, you can use an external thing as well. So some suggest that the whole essay about this is a very fine Talmud Chacham in Los Angeles, who's a businessman, a big supporter of Torah, and author of many, many wonderful Svarim of his own, who a Tzvika Reisman. So to say for Ratz Kitzvi, so he has an essay about this, the volume on Chanukah, where he suggests that the Rambam is coming from another consideration, that he's worried about something which may look like it contradicts the nature of the Chanukah candles. So therefore, even if you say it's mutter to light from one candle to the next, we're still afraid of the appearance that this is for personal usage, which an intermediary candle might create, and that's the concern. So all of this could all be headed under one topic, that we need to have candles lit, and those candles should be identifiable as Ner Shulchanik, and nothing should be contradicting that. So if that's the case, what this brings us to say in sum, is that unlike the impression we may get from words of the Shulchan Aruch that we mentioned on the first day, that Kavsa, Lo Kavsa, and Hadlaka Hanacha are the same sugya, Habaha, what we might really suggest is really there are two halves, that they actually address two different components, and that each one, the two parties are not so far from each other. That our sugya today, Hadlaka Hanacha, focuses on the shared idea that you should have candles lit in your house, that are Neir Chanukah, and just argues about how to clarify that that's what's going on. And Kavsa Lo Kavsa focuses on the fact that your personal responsibility towards that is contained within that initial moment of light. And nonetheless, it's kedai to relight them because of this goal. And the whole machlokas is it obligatory to relight it, or is it a good idea to relight it? Very narrow machlokas. So these sugyas are not habaha, they're two halves of the sentence. That the goal of Neris Chanukah is to have candles lit in your house, and the responsibility on the individual is to light them. I think that's what emerges from these two points, these two sugyas, the sugya from the first day and the sugya of today. So what we'll do is we'll just quickly go over what we said, and again tomorrow we'll do a little bit of parsha, and we'll also do some of the ramifications of this rush, which impacts, get us into the question of electric menorahs. So what we talked about today, we talked about Madlika Miner Lener a little bit, about the possible ramifications that has for Ein Ma'avir and Olam Mitzvos, the question of Ein Ma'avir and Olam Mitzvos, does that apply within the Chanukah menorah? the suggestion that it should not, because it's all one mitzvah. The question is, how does that match the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash, where Rashi does invoke it? And we mentioned it's a little bit questionable whether or not it should be invoked in that context, but maybe there's still a difference that the menorah of the Beis HaMikdash is still seven distinct entities within one mitzvah, and the menorah of our house is really one kind of hadlaka, which may be seven, six, eight candles, but it's all still one expression, and therefore it doesn't make sense to say mavirin al mitzvahs within that expression. So the question is, why do we even talk about Madlika Menorah Lener then in that context? And it's possible that the Shaila really is more focused not on within one menorah, but on sharing to somebody else's menorah, which indeed the Mishnah Berurah mentions as a possible application of that whole discussion. And the Lamais of the Shulchan Aruch says you can light from one candle to the other. The Ramah says a minig is not to, especially with the Mahadrin candles, because they're less of the mitzvah. And we discuss the possibility of whether that is reflective of a shaila as to the role of mahadrin vis-a-vis the main candle. And then we talked about hadlaka osa mitzvah, hanacha osa mitzvah, and we saw that on the one hand, you might think that it should match the Beis HaMikdash, that whatever is there from the Beis HaMikdash is here as well. Rashi sounds like that, that it comes from the Beis HaMikdash. The problem is, the nafka mina is the Gemara gives, that hadlaka would mean that it has to be lit in the right place, that it can't be lit by a cherish to the carton, does not seem to follow through to the Beis HaMikdash, where you find it could be lit outside and brought outside and brought inside. It could be lit by a non-Kohen. The details don't seem to match. So we mentioned that it could be, first of all, Rashi didn't really mean to connect them. Maybe Rashi was only connecting it for a different purpose. The Michas Chinuch's question about being Docha Shabbos is top of the question. You have to figure that out. We also mentioned parenthetically the possible ramifications that the Taz says if it's all about the Beis HaMikdash, so that has no relevance to Shabbos, so Ner Shabbos, you should not have this rule. But he himself points out that the contradictory implication in the Ramah, and the Taz says, what about the Primogodim says, what about the Bracha that we say the Hadlik Ner, it's another Nafkamina mentioned by the Gemara. So we talked a little bit about Oneg and Kavod and the different components of Hadlaka Ner Shabbos. So basically suggested, and mentioned the Sefer Yireach LeMo'adim and others, that perhaps really the Beis HaMikdash is about Hanacha, because there the mitzvah is to have candles lit. We mentioned the suggestion that maybe the house is about Persimmonis and the Beis HaMikdash is not. We weren't satisfied with that for a number of reasons, but whatever it is, it seems to be that it's about Hanacha and the Beis HaMikdash. And nonetheless, the house seems to be different. So what's the difference? So we mentioned that first of all, the Hanacha position seems to include Hadlaka. That's what it sounds like from the Gemara, that you have to relight it Motzi Shabbos. That's what it seems like from the Ran Safek, that the Bracha should say Lahaniach as well. And perhaps the whole idea is that the Shaila really is, everyone agrees that the mitzvah is to have Neris in the house. The question is, what defines them as Neris Chanukah? Is it the act of Hadlaka, a very specific point in the process? Or is it the whole process, including Hadlaka and everything else, that brings this possibility to realization? And all of that is the mitzvah, that all of that is the act of the mitzvah that creates the status. And that could have implications for a lot of things. And then we ultimately suggested that we have essentially two halves of the sugya, that we have the sugya of Kavso Zaka, Kavso Lozok, which is all about our responsibility, but the difference between the two positions is very narrow. And we have the sugya, which is really all about what is the main goal of Neris Chanukah, and the difference between those positions is also very narrow, and we take the two together to create a full picture. Okay, so God willing, we will continue that point tomorrow, and now we'll dav mincha. Are down for us? Why not? Okay, sorry. Timing's a little...